Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We've begun to just explore some of the thoughts and visions and revelation that is given in the early chapters of Revelation. It all begins with this amazing vision of Jesus, but John is told that Jesus is speaking to him and has a message for seven churches. Now, because this is the Word of God, we believe that these messages are for the church today. And we know they apply to different degrees to many situations that are being faced by Christians today. So, what's written to Ephesus, just like Paul's letter to the Ephesians, just like Paul's letter to the Philippians, we don't say, well, that only applied to them. There is a wider application, but there's a particular need for the church in question to heed the message. What is happening here is that a pattern which will not be adopted to every one of the seven churches, but will be to many, a pattern of recognizing some good things happening, but then drawing attention to some weaknesses and errors. The church at Ephesus, of course, is probably one of the most documented churches in the New Testament, because they're mentioned in the Acts, they have their letter from Paul, and indeed they're mentioned here. They're hardworking, they're persevering, and they tend to be pretty good at keeping an eye on what's being taught in the church and trying to eradicate false teaching and people who claim to be apostles and who are not. So all of those are very good things. However, Jesus says, but you've forsaken the love you had at first. And this is a very key message. I believe what the heart of it is that Jesus is saying, you may be doing all the right things, or most of the right things, but the inspiration, the heart behind it, is not what it used to be. It used to be absolute passion, just a tremendous fire and burning desire to serve Jesus and to express love for him. But it's got a bit staid, and you're just going through the motions sometimes, doing the right things, but not necessarily from that same passion and desire. And Jesus urges them to repent, because it's always a challenge how you can have an active life for Jesus. You can be doing all sorts of things, but it's all about actually how much we love him. Well, again, Jesus says, it is good. There are certain things going on in the world, and you hate those things, like the Nicolaitans and their sort of bad practices. But listen to what I'm saying to the church. I want you to enjoy life, and I want you to enjoy the presence of God. Adam was removed from the garden because of his disobedience, but in Christ we're invited to eat, to partake, to be blessed. So that's the heart of Jesus. We're going to listen to some worship now, and my good friend Patrick will join me, and we'll look a little bit more into this church in Ephesus.
But he told me all. finally understood this. Peace from heaven filled my soul, 'cause that is all I need to know.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at Revelation chapter 2. The letter then, Richard, to the church in Ephesus. Just tell us a little bit about Ephesus, firstly, because that's a familiar place in the New Testament, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. It's the place that Paul visited. We read about it in Acts 19. And what happened is that he finds 12 men, and they're pretty good men, but they've been discipled by John the Baptist. And so Paul gathers them and says, look, nothing against John the Baptist, that was great, but what about Jesus? What about being baptized in the name of Jesus? What about receiving the Holy Spirit of Jesus? So he deepens their foundation, and they do become the core group of what many people believe was a very large church.
Yeah. Now, one thing that strikes me about this particular chapter, just at the beginning, is the symbolism of the number seven. You've got seven churches, seven stars, and seven lampstands. Now, I think seven, again, is a symbolic, significant number in the Bible, isn't it?
Well, yes, it's often quoted as the number of perfection. And that's interesting because, again, on one way we can look at things and say, in Christ we've been made perfect, we've been made righteous. But we also know that there's lots of things that need to change and be corrected in us.
Yeah. So he looks at the church in Ephesus and he finds some good things about it, but also some things that need looking at, the room for improvement. One of the good things, if you like, is in verse 2. They're good at spotting those who claim to be apostles but are not. I imagine this is talking about some of the false teaching that was quite prevalent in the New Testament.
Yes, that's right. It was very much the case that people could be travelling around and offer to come and speak into your church and to give the sense that these were real men from God and your church was desperately in need of them and that they should be received. But the Ephesians did seem to have a good record to sort out who was truly from God and who was actually going to sow mayhem and havoc.
But the downside, the other side, if you like, that he highlights about the church in Ephesus, and this quite familiar phrase, that they had forsaken their first love. Now, I've heard this quite often preached on as something that everyone needs to guard against these days. And sometimes it comes across in a rather judgmental kind of way. But is it possible to lose one's first love for God, for Jesus?
I think it is. I mean, it doesn't mean necessarily that you've lost your salvation, of course.
Right.
But, yes, I think that it's to do with motivation. And I guess in other special relationships, there's a similar challenge that a young couple getting married, their love, their desire for one another can be very strong. But then a marriage can get a bit sort of routine and lose something of its spark because one isn't giving attention to the loving and caring and sharing. And I believe that's really what's happening here, and it's a more serious situation. Love is not the prime reason they're doing what they're doing.
So bring that right up to date then in terms of the church of today. How can Christians today guard against losing that first love?
Well, I think that the major thing is to concentrate on the source of love. And I think that that's why I think the communion, I mean, it can be routine, but I think the breaking of bread, one of the main reasons is to keep your eye on that love that was willing to die, to suffer, to go to the cross. And the main way I would suggest that you keep a first love alive is by looking to the one who loved you so much that he gave everything so you could be forgiven.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the book of Revelation in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.